Welcome once again to our services tonight. For those of you who are visiting with us, I was able to meet several of you, and I love on Wednesday nights having visitors that are here, and we just know that God is at work and moving in our midst. And on a Wednesday night, we have gathered once again and here to learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is part 14 of a series that we've been in now, an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. So if you would, take your Bibles tonight and open up to 1 Thessalonians. And chapter number 2 is where we're going to find ourselves tonight. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. And as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. And over the last several weeks, we've really been looking at kind of this in-depth study of the example church. And as Paul is writing this letter, there is no doubt now that we have seen this example that is written for you and I, and is very much a motivation in 2021, in this culture, in this society, in this temperature of our government, for you and I to continue on. And what we've seen is a strong church and a strong conversion, a strong minister, and a strong Christian. And tonight we're going to continue looking at that strong Christian here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to look to the end of this chapter. So if you look at verse number 19 with me, chapter 2, verse number 19, I do want to remind you that we won't have a PowerPoint this evening. We are going to wait until our new one is installed here, here in the next week or so, and then we'll dive back in. We'll have some help for you with our points heading into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Would you please follow along as I read verse number 19? Verse number 19, the Bible says this: "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Let's continue this evening looking at the example church and the strong Christian. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, may it be so ever-present to us this evening. May it lead and guide and direct us. And I ask, Father, Lord, for the visitor that's here, to the faithful Christian that's here each and every week, that, Lord, You would speak to our hearts right now. Lord, it's Wednesday. We're tired. We've had a long day. Lord, we've just come through homework with our kids, grandkids. Many have come straight from work here. But Lord, I ask that You'd help us to be alive in Your Word. Give us what we need this evening to be convicted. But Father, then also encourage us where we need to be encouraged tonight. Father, we love You. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've seen over the last several weeks, a strong church is a church that has strong Christians. And strong Christians are strong people, a people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then those people continue steadfast in the very Word of God. They continue steadfast growing in their Savior. And I've reminded us, I believe, through the Word of God over the last several weeks, that may you and I never come to a point where we feel as though we've reached the apex of our Christianity. May you and I always continue to grow in our Savior. It's a great fear that we ought to have that churches would be filled with such a people that they come and they almost take on, can we put it this way, this Pharisaical attitude of, look at me, look who I am, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look at the money that I've given, look at the buildings that I've built, look at the pews that I've packed, look at the instrument that I play, look at the pulpits that I preached in. But no, may you and I always continue to grow in the gospel, continuing to grow in our Savior. We've seen now over the last 2 weeks, this strong Christian is one in chapter number 2 that has received the Word. Then we see their rekindled hope. And then 2 weeks ago, as I was out of the pulpit this past Wednesday night, but we begin to lay a foundation of their rejoicing and fellowship. You see, this strong Christian rejoiced in fellowship. Look once again at verse number 19 with me and watch what the Word of God says. It says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing?" You see, Paul clearly states that the Thessalonian church, these believers, their hope and joy were in the crown of rejoicing. Well, when is this going to be? Well, look at the end of this verse. It says, and not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. You see, when it's going to take place is in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and you and I will stand in His presence. You see, you and I begin to comprehend this hope. Watch very carefully. This joy, this crown that you and I have. You see, our hope comprehend today, living in November 10th of 2021. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that tonight, would you say amen? Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our hope is not in a pastor. Our hope is not in religion. Our hope is not in the Pope. Our hope is not in church. Our hope, God forbid, is not in the government. It's not in military. But watch very carefully. Our hope ought to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I comprehend, and you and I begin to understand the more that we dig into this passage of Scripture, that our hope is in that we are going to see our Savior face to face one day. How many are saved tonight? Would you say amen? That means you and I are going to see Him. You and I literally are going to stand before His face one day, whether it be by death or whether it be by the rapture. And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to that day when you and I hear the trumpet sound. That means you and I have this hope. And if we have this hope, then you and I are going to have this joy. What a joy it is that our hope is not in this earth, but our hope is in our Savior. And so therefore, you and I begin to comprehend the joy that God gives us. This joy of joining the Lord Jesus Christ with all the believers who have known and reached and grown in Christ down here on this earth. That one day you and I are going to be called up out of here. And we're going to see those who have been saved before. You and I are going to see the apostles. You and I are going to see the men and the women of this Bible. You and I are going to see the very man who wrote this letter here in 1 Thessalonians. You and I are going to see Paul. But more than all of that, you and I are going to see Jesus. You and I are going to see the hope of this world. You and I are going to see the Creator of this universe. But not only is what a hope and what a joy, but also Paul begins to talk about this crown. And what a crown it is. A crown to offer Christ to all the dear people that you and I have had a part in reaching and growing for the Lord. This word crown here, watch very carefully, listen. The word crown is the victor's crown. It's really as Paul begins to talk here, as he did so often, he would use these, let's put it this way, these sports analogies. And this victor's crown would be a crown that an athlete would put on their head after they had won a contest. The picture is that you and I, comprehend, watch now, you and I are in a contest. Now, there are some in this room that you comprehend and you get this very quickly. You're of a very competitive nature. You're in it to win it. To be honest with you, Carrie and I, Carrie, this is the truth, is it not? We are not super competitive people. We're just not. We can sit down. We play Monopoly Deal with each other. It's about the only game that we really play against each other. It's Monopoly Deal. It's based off of Monopoly, but it's super fast, okay? We have 5 kids that we're raising. We don't have time for Monopoly, 5 hours of good grief. You know, buy a property and then this is a 15-minute game, but we like to play. And every once in a while, I guess it gets maybe a little bit competitive, but not really. Now, look, growing up with 7 sisters, some of my sisters are uber competitive. Teal, I don't know, I don't think Teal's been here yet, but you'll be able to meet Teal one day. One of my younger sisters, she's 3 below or 2 below me. Tressa, Tamara, yeah, then Teal. Teal is super, super competitive. Like, you don't want to play volleyball with her. You don't want to read your Bible around her. Like, she's going to race you. It's crazy how competitive she is. But watch now. This contest that we're talking about here, this crown, is not a contest with each other. This is often what Christians do. This is often what even you and I, as independent fundamental Baptists, we've almost had this contest with each other. Who's the most holy? Who won the most people? How much should we give? It's almost, once again, as we just saw, this pharisaical attitude of it's this contest of who can outdo who, and how many people can we have at our church versus the church down the street, and this As we used to see those pack and pew Sundays and competition. That's not the competition we're talking about. Now listen, you and I are in a contest, but it's a contest of good and evil. It's a contest for souls. It's a contest of you and I reaching out and winning this lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The picture is that you and I are in a contest, yes, but the spiritual struggle is against Satan for the very souls of men. Thereby, we must strain and struggle and fight for the souls right here at Marion and Hendricks County. A crown awaits us. A crown that we will miss unless you and I are able to present souls to our Savior. I'm going to ask us a question tonight. And this is not a question to get under skin. This is not a question of let's raise our hand and let's ask. But serious, let's get out in the nitty gritty here for just a moment. We've all been on social media this past week. Well, no, I haven't. Well, have you turned on the TV? Well, yeah, I guess I have. We all ate, let's just put it that way. See, we're like, nope, haven't done that. Nope, haven't watched TV. Oh, okay, good for you, goody two-shoe. But let me just put it this way. All of us have eaten this past week. If you've had at least one meal, would you raise your hand? Go ahead, raise your hand. No, raise it real high. I'm going to look around because you don't raise your hand. Yeah, okay, I got you there. Also, we've all eaten, okay? But let me ask this question. What have we done to present the gospel in our area? What have you and I done to present the gospel to those that we've been around? I'm talking about you and I, not the days that you and I meet on a Tuesday night or Pastor Fo, maybe a Thursday evening or Saturday, as those of you who grew up at church, we always did. We were always at a visitation time, and we went out, and we took tracts, and we presented, and we knocked on doors. You remember those days. Pastor Chris, you clearly remember those days. As those days, this culture continues to change, as you and I now or maybe not meet on a Saturday morning, it doesn't mean that the gospel lights just turned off. What have you and I done to present the gospel to the coworkers that we work with, or the cash register at Kroger, or the cashier at Kroger, or Target, or Walmart, or those who are at the gas station? Comprehend this. You and I are in a contest. You and I are struggling. You and I are fighting. That's what I love about Jesus when he spoke to his disciples. Listen to what he said. He didn't say, follow me, and I'm going to make you the greatest singers. He didn't say, follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to tie. Follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to tie a great knot on your tie to be in church. Follow me, and I'm going to make you the greatest piano player. Follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to preach in the greatest pulpits in every temple around. No, here's what he said. He said, follow me, and I will make you as fishers of men. It's the very goal of life. Listen and comprehend. Paul said it this way. For though I be free of all men, yet have I made myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And that them are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Listen, this is the very function of the church. The role of the church is not to entertain. The role of the church is not just fellowship. The role of the church is not to come in and to have the best Sunday school, or the greatest lighting, or the smoothest parking lot. Listen, the very function of the church is you and I coming in, being more like Christ, so that you and I can go out and spread it in this area. If that makes sense, would you say amen tonight? It's the very function of the church. May you and I be careful at Crosspoint that we never become this us four no more. No, no, no. May you and I love that what I said this evening. As I met Brian, I met Linda, and I even see some others here that I haven't met. Look, on a Wednesday night, we are having folks that are here to visit. As Pastor Ian put it, I love that. Break out for a moment and go and say hello to somebody that you do not recognize. Well, one person say, amen. Maybe we just don't like to hear that. Let's get uncomfortable. Excuse me. Let's get uncomfortable. I know everyone loves it. We used to sit in pews. Pastor Fo, did y'all ever have those wood pews ever? You did? Jan, you're saying yes. So I remember when I was young, we had pews that were wood, legit. Like they weren't padded. I'm telling you, as a kid, I was a skinny little kid. Say, what happened? Be quiet. As a kid, man, I was skinny. And I'm telling you, I'd sit there, and after a while, man, I'm telling you, my back would hurt. My legs would hurt. anyways, you would hurt. You know, sometimes I think we need to be uncomfortable like that. Let's not try to fly out of here real quick so we first out of the parking lot, first to Culver's, first to Wednesdays we can go to Chick-fil-A, can on Sundays, but nonetheless, first to get out of here so we get like, no, how about let's get uncomfortable a little bit. Let's go around and meet those who are visiting here. Let's go back to the Mission Center and grab some tracks, some of the newer tracks that are out. Let us be a gospel light that goes. Why? It's not just for here, but one day you and I, watch now, we are going to give an account before the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are going to stand before the great judge. You and I are going to be there, and there will be those souls that, because you and I passed out a tract or invited somebody to church. I love, I don't think Lisa's here. I was looking for her a moment ago, Joy. I haven't seen her here, but Joy and Amanda and a couple others have been inviting, I think maybe Eva Brenda, have been inviting Lisa to come, and she's a waitress here in town. Sunday she showed up and was so excited to be here. Let me put it this way. That's the gospel, friend. Amen. It's uncomfortable? Sure. Waitresses, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're in a super hurry like nowadays because there's like one per like 10 tables. Stop for a moment and just tell them, hey, love to have you at church. Why? Because you never know when that person, Lisa, shows up in church and loves what she's seeing, loves what she's hearing, loves getting closer to our Abba Father. Man, this strong church, it's got those Christians that you and I are living in this battle. But a strong church also has a strong faith. Now, if we had a PowerPoint up, this is a little bit easier of a transition to make, but we're going to change gears just a little bit now as we head into chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, this passage has to do with the faith of this church, the Thessalonians. Their faith was strong, and Paul wanted to make sure that it remained strong. He stressed their faith 5 times over the next 10 verses. As we head now into chapter number 3, let me say it again. There's really 5 distinct ways that he begins to point out the faith that they had in their life. Everybody watch up here, and we're gonna read it here in just a moment. But may this be, are you ready for this? May this be the desire that you and I have. All of us have desires in life. My desire in my life is to raise kids that love Jesus. The desire in my life is, a bucket list and to go through and we all have desires. But, you know, spiritually speaking, we ought to have a desire that you and I grow in our faith. That you and I just don't reach this point where we saw faith in the yesteryears and so we're done and we're good. We saw it in the second part of this series in 1 Thessalonians, the faith of chapter number 1 that Paul began to talk about. And it kind of reiterates here the faith that these people had. And this faith, watch very carefully, is you and I ought to, well, just like this church, have a faith that is not a faith of yesteryear. Now, I've said it over and over. You know my heart after a year now. I am so thankful for the faith that it took for, I don't think y'all get offended if I call you old timers or gray head or, I don't know, nobody likes to be called old, but nonetheless, the hoary heads is what the Bible calls you. That's a great way to say it, isn't it? Kind of, not really. But anyways, the gray heads, I just want to put it this way. Like, you know I'm so thankful for what has taken place in the past. It took faith to move up from Eagledale or Speedway area over here. It took faith to change the name. It took faith to purchase 28 acres. It took faith, I mean, from what I've heard, Pastor Foth, I mean, this was like a disco ball was hanging in here and a dance floor and whatever. And we're not going that way, so don't worry. It's not going back up. I don't even know what happened to it, okay? But nonetheless, it took a lot of faith to get us where we're at. And we praise the Lord for that. How many are saying for that? Say amen. Millennials in here, we ought to be thankful for that. The time and the sweat and the sacrifice and the money it took. Man, let me just put it this way. I praise the Lord for you that Crosspoint Baptist Church can operate in the black and we're not in debt and what a beautiful campus we have here. And even the updates that we're doing, just colors and stuff. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And man, we're so thankful for it. But let me put it this way. At 38 years old, I'm not just at the place where I'm ready to live in the past. Somebody help me out. Amen. For every older generation person in here, This is the time not to sit back, relax, hit the old golf course and just coast in. This is the very time that we need you to continue to step up to the plate and to show a younger generation that was done in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s. The same God that worked back then is the same God that is sitting on the throne today and will continue to work. If God were to tarry another 100 years, friend, may it be said about our kids and our great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids that the folks at Cross Point Baptist Church, they had real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That always be said. So the subject now begins to turn to faith. But what is a strong faith? Well, a strong faith, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, has endurance. Look at chapter number 3. Has endurance. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, Paul here, let's pause right here. We'll continue on, but just watch him. Paul had fled to Athens. Remember this, Acts chapter 17. But his heart was still with the church at Thessalonica. He was longing for these believers. Why? Because they are at this point suffering persecution and real fierce attacks. But know what Paul says here. Paul is saying that he could bear it no longer. Now he has to do something. He desperately wanted to return and stand by their side, but he could not. His return, he comprehended, was only going to fuel more persecution on this church. So what is Paul to do as he writes this letter? He wants to be there. He desires to be there, but what's he going to do? Well, he does the very next best thing he could do. He sends Timothy. Look at verse number 2. It says this. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Now watch. To establish you. And to comfort you concerning your faith. Now Timothy was a very dependable servant. He was a dear brother to Paul. He's absolutely a minister of God. He's a fellow laborer with Paul in the gospel. And if anybody, Paul is saying, could help these believers, it was going to be Timothy who is going to, watch what it says here, establish and comfort them. The word establish in our English language means to support and strengthen. Here's what, watch, don't lose me here. Now you've got to get this. In our vernacular, here's what's taking place. Paul can't be there, so he's going to send somebody else. This somebody else is Timothy. Timothy is a young man, but a very good man. He's going to be there to establish. He's going to be there to support, to strengthen them, but also to comfort them. Now, once again, comfort means this. It means to encourage and to exhort. This is what Paul says. I want to be there. I can't be there. I'm going to do the best next thing I can. I'm going to send you somebody. What's he going to do? He is going to, check it out now, even at a young age, he is going to be there for some time until he can come back and report, and he is going to establish you, but also he is going to comfort you. You say, Pastor, how is this applicable to us today? Well, listen, this is for every believer. Ready for this? This is for every believer that I would say has been saved for around or at least over a year. So I don't want to embarrass that by night, but let's just ask. How many here have been saved for at least a year or more? Would you raise your hand? If you haven't, don't worry about it. It's okay. But at least raise your hand. Okay, now raise it a little bit higher so I can look around and look tonight. Okay, I look at this section. Good. This section. All right, good. This section is good. So I would say, oh, probably about 99% have been saved for at least a year. What we're talking about in Timothy is applicable to us. Paul's going to send a man who is not a novice, but he knows the gospel. He's going to come there and he's going to establish them and he's going to comfort them. This is every believer in this room tonight. This is you and I who have been saved. We should not be stressed. You and I should not be worried. You and I ought not to be complainers. No, you and I should be helping to establish new believers, encouraging those who need to be encouraged. This is the church of Thessalonica. This is why Timothy is there. They were going to have this endurance. But if they were going to have this endurance, they were going to need someone who could step on the scene. And that person who's going to step on the scene is going to help those believers be established in the faith. You say, Pastor, how does that work? Here's how it works. You and I, after we've been saved, have not been called to be the sheriff of everybody else's life. You and I have the Holy Spirit that does that. You and I have not been called as believers to come in and make sure that everybody knows where your life is awful and where the church is wrong and where you didn't get your pew or your parking place or the temperature wasn't right. No, no. You and I have not been called to tear down. You and I, as believers, have been called to build up. Therefore, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are to establish those who are young in the faith. You and I are to be there to help them dive into the Word of God. This is what, listen now, this is what is called discipleship. This is what Timothy is doing. This is the calling of every man, woman, teenager, college student in this very room right now. You and I have been called to establish younger believers, get them in the Word, help them grasp that when we have a final authority in the inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. But not only that, you and I have also been called to comfort others. What does that mean? That means you and I are there to encourage, to lift up. Now, Pastor Chris was joking around, but we all know, and Pastor Chris, he's not a novice, he's been around a long time. We all complain about the weather. I don't know what it is. Like, I have four sisters that live in Florida, and they all want to live in Indiana. They all want to be here. Oh, you're so lucky. Oh, you have four seasons. Oh, I just love to see snow. I just want to go up there and smell the leaves. I know they're weird, but nonetheless, oh, just love to be there. And, you know, we're going through February, March, and everybody up here saying, oh, if I could just be in Florida. I just want sunshine. Oh, palm trees. We can have palm trees here. Okay, look, that's a very, very, that's a complain light. But let me put it this way. We all complain. We haven't been called to complain. We've been called to comfort. We've been called to build up, to encourage. The prayer sheet. Ms. Lord, do you have a prayer sheet? Anybody have a prayer sheet? Prayer sheet, prayer sheet, anywhere, prayer sheet. Here we go. Look, this is, you know why we print this out? Well, because it looks really good. It reminds us who our pastors are in the front. No. You know why we print this out? Because we've always done it. Wrong. You know why we print this out? So we can comfort each other in prayer. Lift each other up. Encourage each other. Nobody wants to come in, especially, excuse me, friend, and I'm not picking on anybody, and you can't say, Pastor must have put this in his message because he was on Facebook. I'm going verse by verse through a chapter of Scripture. There is no way I jump four verses to be like, ooh, let me get this in on this night. Look, this is Holy Spirit talking, so if you're convicted, take it up with Jesus, okay? But nonetheless, nobody wants to come to church and be torn down. Well, Brother Titus, wearing that, is that a pink shirt? I don't even know what... Is it pink? What? Salmon color? Coral, thank you very much. He's like, it's not a pink shirt. We've got a veteran over here. It's like, I ain't no wearing no pink shirt. Okay, say, nobody was thinking, why are you wearing a salmon shirt? You just start tearing them down. Are you kidding me? Oh, good grief. I'm telling you, Brother Haybing, that's our pew, and that's where we always sit. You think you got to move over here just because you sang on the platform, think you're something, and you fly off, and you're using as an example? Way to go, brother. Look, no, nobody wants to come in. If that's you, you're weird, and that's not of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are here to comfort, to lift up, to pray for each other, to be there. Is anybody in here perfect? Say amen. Cricket, cricket. You know why? None of us are perfect. Hold on, let me say it again. No one in here is perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there are none righteous, no, not one. You know what you and I are here for? Here is the encompassing gospel. You and I are here because there are those that are hurting and there's those that need prayer. And let me tell you something. One day you might be on this prayer list and you're going to be thankful. Thank you, Ms. Lord. You're going to be thankful that there are 100, 150, 200 people that are going home and lifting you up in prayer. And you and I ought to be those that, as we've seen over the last several weeks, those who are just getting saved and they're getting baptized. And then you and I ought to be there. Watch, to have that endurance. That endurance that says this. We're not going to be there in a flash and, wow, it's goodness great. Wow, it's goodness great. We're going to have great faith. No, you and I ought to be there to establish them and to comfort them. And let me put it this way. Oftentimes we find, especially in 2021 Christendom, is when it's good and it's great, boy, everybody's in. When things go bad, things don't go your way. But I'm telling you, all of a sudden you start separating those who are part of the body of Christ and those who were playing church. Do you know what COVID did? It showed us in our country, it's a lot of people playing church. It's a lot of people, oh, it's good, it's great. Woo, we love church. Boy, we love trunk or treat and get candy and community. Jesus, wow. All of a sudden, boy, I'm telling you, some fear took over our country. And people checked out. Done. Over. No, thank you. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that's kind of, I'm getting off track here, but I don't have my time up here. What time is it? Oh, good, I got time. My PowerPoint's not up here, and usually it's Brother Darren flashes it real big. Stop. But it's not up there tonight. So, where was I going with that? I feel like that we, in 2021, have now separated those that we've got to get back to being very serious, no matter what. Serious about church and God and His house and the body of Christ and the gospel going out. It's not a time to play. It's not a time just to sit back, relax, coast in. No, this is a time, friend, as we're seeking this church, no matter what, this church had the endurance. And there's a verse, that's where I was getting at. There's a verse in the Word of God that says, will He find faith in the earth? You ever thought about that? I've thought about that. That's almost offensive. I mean, we're talking about end time. Is He going to find faith in the earth? Well, of course He's going to find faith. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm not so sure. Something doesn't go our way. We don't like that standard. We don't like what they wore. We don't like that song they sang. We don't like that color. We don't like that new bus. We don't like that deacon. We don't like that Sunday school teacher. I tell you what, we're out. Time out. Hold on. No, seriously. Hold on. Really? Well, I'm just telling you, that they made the decision and no one called me. I was in the hospital. Nobody visited me. I was... Just a minute. We're not the baby Christian anymore. No, friend. We're not the one that just got saved doesn't know better. Excuse me. We know better. We're established. Now we are the ones. We are the ones that now are taking like Timothy those and establishing them in the faith. We're comforting those. I'm sorry you had a bad day. Sorry you had a 5 minutes. Let me just tell you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me just help you out a little bit. He works all things for good to them that love God. Let me help you a little bit. Casting all your care upon Him. What are we doing? We're taking the very Word of God and we're establishing new believers in the Word of God. We're not part of that crowd anymore. We're established. We're in. And when you and I then comprehend that we're in, you and I are going to have the endurance. And here's what I want to say it this way tonight, is that those of you who have been in the race for 10 years have the endurance to keep going. For those of you who have been in the race for 20, 30, some of you 40 years, maybe 50 years you've been in the race. Let me tell you, right now's not a time to stomp on a younger generation. They might be weird. They might talk in a lingo that you don't understand. They may have their phones always out. Their minds are in it. Look. This is not a time to stop and give up. No, we have to endure. Why? Because there is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell, and there are souls that are weighed in the balance, and it's up to you and I to continue on. That makes sense tonight. Would you say amen? See, Pastor, this is a little bit heavy. We have some visitors here. Well, the really encouraging part comes in this next verse. But if I get into the next verse, it's going to take 15 minutes. So what do y'all want to do? That's what I thought. So for our visitors here, you're going to have to come back next week, and we're going to dive right back into this. But here's where I'm going to encourage us tonight. Friend, we have to have endurance. We have to keep going. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to start, and the next couple of, sermons, you and I are going to see this church was under some intense persecution. But they had a testimony. We don't have our young kids in here tonight, but you know what our young kids, now look. You know what our young kids need to see? It's a generation that's not going to stop. They're going to keep going. When I look around this room tonight, I've mentioned Pastor Defoe and Brother Titus, Pastor Fitzgerald, so many of you that, Pastor Dan, even, so many of you that you've been in the race for a long time. I'm going to put it this way. Your endurance is speaking to the next generation. And let me tell you this way, it's speaking volumes. Volumes. I have a father-in-law who's been in the ministry 30 years. My mother-in-law is here this evening. If you haven't met my mother-in-law, she is really incredible. She's one of these mother-in-laws. You may not like yours. I actually really do like mine. She's pretty awesome. And tune in next week. I'll tell you what I really feel about her. But listen, let me put it this way. I think Dad Clayton, Mom, has he been in at Salina Baptist for 25 years? 30 years? He's been for 30 years. Same church. Put it this way, that speaks volumes for this man right here. It's incredible. When I see his life, you know what it tells me? Keep going. Have they had big days? Sure. Have they had low days? Without a doubt. If we ask here, I'm sure, Pastor Bo, we've had good days, we've had bad days. We've had good years, we've had bad years. But you know what it takes? It's Christians with endurance to continue on. Don't let COVID scare us into, well, let's have 50 people and that's it. And no. We're gonna tear this town up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to stop in this community. We're not going to let anything get in our way. You know why? Because we have our Abba Father that is leading the way. Amen. He's there with us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never, are you ready for this? He's never going to unfriend your page. So maybe we ought to click on his and become a friend of his. Endurance. You got it in you? This church did. They faced some hard times. We're probably going to face some hard times. But we're in it to win it. Amen. We're in it for the crown. We're in it with each other. So what are we going to do? Let's get around Coach Shell. Establish each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. Brother John, Brother Gary, we gotta get in this. Brother Burkett, we gotta be in this together. Amy, we gotta be in it. Why, Brian? Because you and I, we're here to establish each other and what? Comfort each other. So that you and I, when hard times come, we're ready to just continue on. Amen. Is every day for Pastor Shepherd just great and wonderful? And boy, do you ever have a bad day? Yes, of course. We all do. But he's still sitting on the throne. Amen. He's still Jesus. He's still God. Amen. Let's continue in him.